My guest at this time is John Seago. He is the legislative director at Texas Right to Life. While the Right to Life movement is often associated with the battle over abortion, it is also directly involved with end-of-life care as well. And at issue, as we speak with John today, is the story of Chris Dunn, who is currently a patient at Houston Methodist Hospital. Right now, the hospital wants to take him off of life-saving machines, even though he and his family do not want to. And John, thanks very much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Fill in some of the background details here. We know that this is a relatively young man. He's still in his 40s. He's a former law enforcement official and apparently got very, very sick at a time when he didn't have insurance. So what happened after that?
Chris showed up in the hospital and was, instead of kind of figuring out what was wrong with him, instead of doing the biopsies and the tests, it looks like he was in pretty bad condition, and so the hospital began to have conversations with the family that indicated the hospital was ready to give up, that the hospital did not think it was worth fighting, that they said there was a lot of complications in his health, and they didn't think that his life was going to be worth living by the time he gets to the other side of this medical condition. And so without really having too much of a diagnosis, they had a few a few conclusions, a few findings of different kind of breakdowns in his health condition, but wouldn't biopsy, wouldn't really try to find out what the cause was. And it's a little bit perplexing for us, actually, because they decided to use this law, this Texas law that gives them the authority to make these life-ending decisions and against the family's wishes. So in Texas, we have a very unprecedented law called the Texas Advanced Directive Act that gives authority to hospitals to do this. So this hospital is actually using a legal process that we have to withdraw life-sustaining treatment even if the patient and family are asking for it. And that's been in law in Texas since 1999. And at Texas Right to Life, we consider this Texas Advanced Directive Act to be the black spot on our state's pro-life record. And whenever we talk to people about it, they're really shocked because they consider Texas a pro-life state. But we have a really terrible law here that the Methodist Hospital is using currently that puts vulnerable patients in jeopardy like Chris.
We're talking with John Seago of Texas Right to Life. And John, one of the things I read, I think it was on your site, was that it is believed that he has a non-cancerous mass at the point where I believe his intestine connects with his pancreas. From medical experts that you've talked with, is this something that could be addressed in a way that, if done successfully, he could have a fairly normal life for a number of years to come?
Yeah, so, you know, we're committed to changing the law. We're fighting on that side politically. But in the meantime, we help families out like this. And one of the ways that we help families as patient advocates is get outside medical opinions, and we get doctors from other facilities to look at the records, to do private consults and to look and to see. And there are a long list of things that physicians who were dedicated to keeping Chris alive and healing him could do. A lot of biopsies that need to be done, but even some treatments that some of the physicians that we, medical experts that we went to, even some treatments that and medical interventions that they recommended if he was in a facility that was actually dedicated to keeping him alive and healing him. And that's just, unfortunately, what we see at Methodist Hospital is they have a medical ethic that we disagree with. I mean, Texas Right to Life, we're using our pro-life principles to apply to medical ethics. But unfortunately, at this hospital and hospitals around the state, we see that they have a different philosophy. And they're using this law to cover up that anti-life ethic and actually to make these decisions against the wishes of the patient.
Now, there's a video also that you've produced showing that there is a legal case proceeding on behalf of Chris Dunn. What's the latest there?
Yeah, so they have this law, this Texas Advanced Directive Act that the hospital is using, but that wasn't enough. We went to the court and we asked the court to put a temporary restraining on the hospital because of kind of their abuse of this law, and we got some extension of time. The law only gives you 10 days. So if an ethics committee decides they want to take away the treatment, they only give the family 10 days to transfer to another facility, which is extremely difficult because the hospital's decided they don't want to treat the patient anymore. However, you can't transfer without their help. So they kind of made up their mind, and they sit on their hands for 10 days, and then they're legally protected to withdraw treatment. That's what typically happens. In this case, we had the hospital under a temporary restraining order. They were keeping Chris alive for an extended amount of time by a court. And instead of just following the court's orders, the hospital has actually turned around and is now challenging the guardianship of the mother. So Chris's mother has been there at the hospital by his side through this whole ordeal for 8 weeks. He actually lived with her after a back injury that he sustained when he was working at the Homeland Security. So she's clearly the caretaker for Chris and has been through a lot of medical conditions that he's had. But the hospital is actually trying to take that right away from her. She was the medical power of attorney, and we see that the hospital actually wants someone else to be the guardian and to make medical decisions for Chris. And we know that the first medical decision that they'll make, if they get it, is to withdraw his ventilator, which will occasion his death. So it's very disturbing that Houston Methodist Hospital is not just trying to use this unethical law, but they're actually going above and beyond to take the decision-making authority out of the hands of Chris's own mother.
What do you believe the law should be?
So Texas is unique with this law. We have, there are 13 states, and there are 13 other states that have better process. They have a better process. They have better laws whenever there's a conflict like that. If a hospital or if a patient and a patient's family is requesting life-sustaining treatment like a ventilator that a hospital doesn't think is appropriate, we want to respect that. But we don't want there to be an unbalance of power. So, we want the hospital to continue to care for the patient and then transfer the patient to a facility that will actually wants to care for him. But what we have in Texas, if there's a disagreement, all the authority is in the hands of the hospital. And several other states have these models where the family and the hospital have to work together. And if the hospital doesn't want to treat the patient, they have to transfer the patient to a facility that will care for him. And this is not very difficult. I mean, we have long-term care facilities. We have nursing homes with ventilators. We have a lot of other types of facilities that in some cases may be more appropriate, but that's definitely the ethical thing to do. Instead of ending the life of the patient against their will, transferring them to a facility that actually sees that the medical intervention the patient's requesting is appropriate or at least worth trying.
John, last couple of minutes here. So bring us up to speed on where we are in this 10-day window and what else you're doing. I know there's a petition drive. I guess it's aimed at directly at the hospital to have them reevaluate their decision. Just give us a little bit of an update on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the law only allows 10 days, and the 10 days would have been up on the 23rd of last month. So we're actually coming up along a month's time from when the Ethics Committee made their decision. And so we saw that we're, several weeks past the date that the hospital gave them because we did go to court and we did start challenging the constitutionality of this law, did start challenging some of the acts that the hospital has taken in executing this law. That's not typical. You know, most families, they don't have that capacity to do that. They're given 10 days and then that's the end of the story for them. But for us, we've been fighting this law, and we kind of saw some things that Methodist Hospital did incorrectly. So we went to a judge, and we got a 2-week extension, and then we got another 2-week extension. So we've been extending it. So we're way past the 10 days. We're currently in court fighting the hospital when they're trying to take the guardianship away from the mother. So we have that next. We'll have a hearing in a probate court about the guardianship of who actually gets to make medical decisions for Dunn. He is capable of making his own medical decisions, but because he has a tube, he can't verbally say them. So he can indicate with his head, he shakes his head, yes and no. He uses his hands to indicate whether he wants something or not. He is communicative, but because he can't speak verbally, he has to have a surrogate speak on his behalf. And so we have, Evelyn, his mother, has been making those decisions for him. And now the hospital wants another administrator at the hospital to be his guardian and to make medical decisions, which we know the decisions that they will make is to give up on him and withdraw the life-sustaining treatment that's keeping him alive. So those are the next steps. We'll need to win the probate case, and then we're still trying to get him out of there. The hospital is not cooperative with transferring him, but we're still working to try to get him to a facility that is life-affirming and that will see Dunn's life as worth living, and try to get him to a place where they'll turn their attention to healing and helping him recover instead of ending his life.
Where can folks go to sign the petition?
So TexasRightToLife.com is our website, TexasRightToLife.com, all spelled out. That's our website. We have updates there. We have petitions. And then whenever we get back to the legislative session, it's quite a ways away. But next year we'll go back, in 2017, we'll go back into our state legislature, and Texas Right to Life will continue our effort to reform the Texas Advanced Directive Act that has enabled Chris to be victimized in Methodist Hospital.
Very, very difficult story. John, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
John Seago is Legislative Director at Texas Right to Life. For more information, TexasRightToLife.com. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.